Would you like to learn how to overcome the darkness by living in the light? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Lots of us know how to do the Christian life, but we don't do the Christian life. How do we live the Christian life? From paper to practice. We put it into practice in our lives. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them.
There is truth, there is truth, there is blessed, there is hope.
Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. You know, sometimes we think, well, the Christian life should be easy. But the reality is, in practice, every moment of every day, it's not easy. I mean, righteous living sounds simple in theory, but it's not easy in practice. However, in today's lesson, Pastor Jeff helps us to take our biblical principles from paper to practice. That's the name of this message from the timely series, For Such a Time as This. This is the last message in this series that will be airing this month. The entire 9-message series is our thank you gift for your support of any amount from His Heart. You can find out more about how to get that when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to show us how to take our faith from paper to practice.
To finish up our series that we've called For Such a Time as This, taken from Esther chapter 4, how to overcome the darkness by living in the light, we want to talk about from paper to practice, how to put the truths of the Christian life, of the Scripture, put them into practice in our lives, to not just know them, but to do them. Now, Peter tells us, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he speaks to the people, to his listeners, to his readers, and to us today. He speaks to us about the coming of the Lord and how we are to live in light of his coming. Now, he says this, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? You guys have been talking about the second coming of Jesus. Well, where is he? And so Peter says this beginning in verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why has Jesus not come? Because he's waiting for you to be saved. He's waiting for those to be saved. It's the picture of Noah's Ark as he talks about the flood in chapter 3. It took Noah 100 years to build the ark. And there was room in the ark for people to come and be saved from the judgment that was to come. But they didn't come. But the patience of God was waiting, Peter says, in the days of Noah. So he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise. He's just patient. And then he says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord, it will come. It will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Right in your margin there, global warming. Right there, global warming, verse 10. He says this, then since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. I want us to notice three aspects of the Lord's coming that cause us to put into practice the truths of Scripture. Aspect number one, the Lord calls us to live in the awe of His coming. The awe of His coming, the fear and reverential awe of His coming. And when you think of the coming of the Lord, you think of the awe of the Lord. And you fear Him, not in a way that you're coward, like, oh no, I'm shaking because the Lord is coming. That's not what the fear that the people of God need to have, but we need to have reverential awe of God. Adam Clark, in his commentary on Revelation chapter 6, he says, when I read about the judgments of God, it makes me fear. Fear. How great is our God? And then the fear of the Lord, not only does the day of the Lord produce the fear of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord produces obedience to the Lord. Obedience to the Lord. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. See, because God hates evil. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that the things that are in the world, immorality, impurity, sensuality, passion, idolatry, and greed, it's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Because God is a holy God. God is a pure God. God's too pure to look upon evil. And the world is filled with evil, with vice and violence and apathy toward God. And eventually God says, enough, enough. Hey, when we have the fear of the Lord, then we also have a hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. And God hates sin. And that's why he says in verse 11, since all these things are be destroyed in this way, what sort of people, what manner of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now look at that. What sort of people? What sort? That word in the Greek means exotic, out of this world, foreign. We're to be different people. We're twice-born men living in a world of once-born men. And twice-born men are different. The Holy Spirit of God lives in a twice-born man. The Holy Spirit of God does not live in a once-born man. We're to be different. We're holy. We're set apart for God. We are to be those who have holy conduct and godliness in our actions and in our attitudes. So that's the first aspect. The Lord calls us to live in the awe, the reverential awe, the fear of Him. Secondly, the Lord calls us to live not only in the fear of the Lord and the awe of the Lord, but in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. As Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15, that the execution of justice is joy for the righteous, but it is terror to the workers of iniquity. You know, if you're being robbed, and you're in the process, a crime is taking place, and they pull a gun on you, and they're robbing you. And then you see a squad of policemen coming to your aid. Your heart is filled with joy. Yes, they're going to get the bad guy. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be saved. But for the robber, he's thinking, crud. Crud. The police are showing up. That's the last person in the world I want to see is the police. Why? Because I'm committing a crime. The execution of justice is joy for the righteous. It is terror to the workers of iniquity. So how are we to live? We're to live in the light of His coming. And in the light of His coming, there's the fear of the Lord, but there's also the joy of the Lord. And we as His people are to be excited. See, His soon return is a cause for great excitement. He says in verse 12, we're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, His soon return is a cause for great excitement. As the song says, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding and now His face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Not to torch me, but to rescue me. He's the policeman that's coming in the midst of the crime to rescue me and to enact judgment on those who disobey the gospel, on those who spit in His face. And we're to be looking for His coming. We're to be expecting his coming. And his soon return is an opportunity for us to witness. An opportunity for us to witness. Therefore, beloved, verse 14, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. The patience of God is salvation. And what are we on this earth for? As twice born men living in a world of once born men, what is our job for such a time as this? To be his witness. So we're here on this earth, and what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to witness, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. And he says in verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Peace is the Greek word eirene. We get the name Irene from Irene. Irene, peace. And the Lord says, be diligent. That means make every effort, endeavor to be at peace when he comes, spotless and blameless. Now listen, if you don't walk with God as a believer, you're not going to be spotless. Spotless speaks of your character. Blameless speaks of your reputation. You're not going to be spotless if you're not walking with God, and therefore you're not going to be blameless. And when you are spotless and blameless, doesn't mean you never sin, but it means you deal with sin. You get it out of your life and you walk in the light as he himself is in the light, and you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin, and you're walking with the King. And when you do that, there's peace. There's peace. And peace is a powerful witness. When you have the peace of God within you and you're not freaked out by what's going on around you, because there's peace inside. You know who had great peace inside? Peter. Peter, in Acts chapter 12, when he was arrested and was in prison, four squads of soldiers guarding the prison, chained between two guards, one guard on this side and one guard on that side. When the people prayed, God sent an angel to deliver him in Acts chapter 12. And when the angel got there, Peter's going to be executed in the morning. He gets there in the middle of the night because, you know, we know about God. He's Jehovah Nick of time. He's not Jehovah ahead of time. He's Jehovah right on time, Jehovah Nick of time. And so he comes at night at the 11th hour, and he is going to deliver Peter, but Peter's asleep. And he sleeps like a rock. That's his name. And so he's asleep. The angel has to bang him. He has to really give him a whack to wake him up. You know, he's probably just nudging him. Peter, Peter, nothing. Whap! Peter, wake up! It's time to go. And Peter's getting ready to be killed. He was crucified upside down when he eventually did die. Peter is ready to be killed for his faith, and he's at total peace. People in our world, they look at a Christian to see, do they freak out when the stock market drops? Do they freak out when this happens, when that happens? Do they freak out when the medical report comes back and says you have cancer? How do they handle that? They're looking to see, because the Lord makes it clear. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Zero, zip, none, nada. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so the wicked, they might have lots of stuff, but they don't have peace, because peace comes from God. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Peace doesn't come from a pill. It doesn't come from a thrill. It doesn't come from a bottle. It doesn't come from a boast. It doesn't come from $1 billion. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when he is on the throne of your heart, there is peace. And people notice that. And that is a witness to this world, when you're diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. So the Lord calls us to live in the fear of the Lord and in the joy of the Lord. And then aspect number three, he calls us to live in the power of his coming. The fear of his coming, the joy of his coming, and the power of his coming. He says, as our verse 15, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Have you ever read Paul and thought, I'm having trouble understanding that? Peter says, hey, I have trouble with that too. Some things are hard to understand that Paul wrote. Paul is super smart, and God gave him tremendous insight and wisdom. Paul and Peter are so different. Now, they both love the Lord. They're both walking in the Spirit. But you give an IQ test to Paul and an IQ test to Peter, and Paul's going to come out on top. Paul is a brilliant guy, and Peter is just a regular guy. It's an encouragement to all of us who are just regular guys, because we look at Paul and say, man, I'm not like that. But you can be like Peter. Peter was the one that the Lord elevated number one disciple. He said, hey, you know what Paul writes? Some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. He said, but you, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. Hey, there's power in thinking about the coming of the Lord, because it produces fear, because it produces joy, and it's there to produce power to live for Jesus. Now, be on guard, as the scripture says, against deception. Satanic deception will come in the last days, and it comes through false teachers. And if you read today, you go home and read today the epistle of 2 Peter, you'll understand that all of chapter 2 is about false teachers. False prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. All about false teachers. He says they're stains and blemishes as they revel in their deceptions, as they carouse with you. So he says, be on guard against deception. Now it says that these false teachers, that in verse 16, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scripture, to their own destruction. The word distort, interesting word, it literally means to torture on the rack. Have you ever seen a movie where in medieval times that they're going to put somebody on the rack? When Debbie and I were in London, we went to the Tower of London and they took us there into the dungeon. In the dungeon, that's where they tortured people. Putting somebody on the rack, you'd stretch them out and you had a crank and you would just crank that thing until you ripped their joints apart. That's what these people, these false teachers, do with the scripture. They twist it, they distort it, they put it on the rack and torture it. And he says, be on guard against those folks because they are out there. Don't believe every spirit, John says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So be on guard against deception and be proactive in spiritual growth. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow. How are you doing with that command to grow? I grow in grace and I grow in knowledge. Many of us aren't growing. Hey, you don't grow by osmosis. You don't grow by taking your Bible and putting it under your pillow at night. That doesn't work. You grow by saying, I'm going to be diligent in this, diligent to grow. Now, Peter said, as newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word. Why? So that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. The Bible is milk. And it's also bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the writer of Hebrews says that the word is meat. It's solid food. And solid food is for the mature, who because of practice has their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the word of God is a meal. It is milk. It is meat. It is bread. And you have to eat to get stronger. You have to eat so that you will grow and enlarge yourself. I want you to remember something. This is how you grow. Number one is Bible study. Number two is prayer. Number three is worship. You grow through worship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return. We need worship, and then fellowship. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship comes not in a big group worship service. It comes in a small group class. It comes on Sunday morning in a Bible study class. And you have to be involved in a small group to have fellowship. So we got prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, and last one is witness. Witness. You want to grow as a Christian? Tell people about Jesus. And when you tell people about Jesus, it causes you to look at your own life and say, am I spotless and blameless? Nobody does this perfectly. When you mess up, you fess up and you make it right so that you can be the witness that he wants you to be. So you can tell other people about Jesus and you're not concerned with them saying, hey, you're talking about Jesus, but you did this, you did that, you haven't paid your bills, you haven't, you're failing in your marriage, you're not a good husband, you're not a good dad, you don't provide for your family. How can you witness for Jesus when you're not doing the things that he has called you to do? Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, how do we do it? How do we live the Christian life? From paper to practice. We put it into practice in our lives. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And the coming of the Lord produces fear. It produces joy, and it produces power as we say, he's coming back again. I want to get busy for Jesus. Let me close with this story. Peter in chapter 3 brings up the story of Noah. And when they say, where is the promise of his coming? For all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. He said, when they say this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Do you remember Noah? Do you remember he built a boat? Do you remember that he was preaching? Preacher of righteousness. He was preaching that the day of salvation is here. Come on the ark of safety. And the people laughed at him and the people mocked him and the people scorned him. But one day it began to rain.
One day the time of God's patience will be over and the fierce rain of his judgment will begin. No one knows when that day is. But I know that today is the day of opportunity. So as you've listened today and realized that you've never come to know Christ, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, today is the day he is calling you. Today is your day. He's pulling at your heart to receive you. How do you come to Christ? Through repentance and faith. Say a prayer like this, genuinely to him. Say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Forgive my sin and save me. I repent of my sin. I know I can't save myself. I need the cleaning that comes only from you. I want to live for you. Please make me a child of God and help me to be the person you want me to be. I surrender to you and will strive to live my life to glorify you in everything. Thank you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now you can thank him for saving you because God cannot lie. He says, you are now a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You'll want to link up with a Bible-believing church, find Christian friends to help you mature in your faith, and read your Bible every day. Also, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link to help you get started in your Christian journey. And there, too, are some free materials to help you from Pastor Jeff. Well, what a great message today called From Paper to Practice, the last in Pastor Jeff's series For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. It's our special thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month, and you can go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift and receive this series on either CD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. Just call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. And thank you for standing with us for such a time as this. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping that you'll be here Thursday as Pastor Jeff Shreve continues this month with a message to encourage you to put your faith into practice. The message is called Pushing Through the Fear. Join us next time as we open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is grace, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.